Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning. Might help if I turn my microphone up here.
It usually starts
it
out.
It always better. Works that
it
way.
Always it always works better.
It's amazing.
When it's turned on and you actually talk into
the
microphone.
Hit the button, turn it up.
Yeah.
And, it always seems to work when you do that.
But, guys, I got to tell you, I got to brag here a little bit.
Yesterday, yeah, what's this I hear about yesterday being a big day?
Big day yesterday afternoon for me, and very unexpected and very sudden. Eighth hole, Hearts Gravel Country Club, 136 yards. It was not a 3-iron, as someone said earlier, smart Alex. Pitching wedge. Probably should have been. Pitching wedge in my hand, and it went in the hole.
Wow.
Hole in one yesterday. Hole in one.
That's pretty awesome.
And it was one of those that...
Did you buy drinks for everybody?
We did. We did. We had cocktails
everybody
last
order
night.
Big?
We've got a pretty good – well, let me get to that in a second.
Right.
Yes, yeah, so everybody got what they needed and what
okay.
they wanted yesterday.
Right.
But I'd still never have understood that tradition. But it was one of those shots where you can see the green, but the pin was in a place where I wasn't certain it went in the hole. We heard it, bang the stick, and then we lost sight of the ball. But I've seen this happen before where you're jumping up and down, you think something's wonderful happening, you get up there and it's 4 inches behind the cup. So I was,
yeah,
a little, cautious, but my playing partners, Dr. Rex Heifel, Robert Burris, and Breck Burris, who also get a free dozen balls out of this deal, I found out, they were certain it'd win in the hole. I was cautious because I've had this happen before, but it was in the hole, as Bill
That's
Murray
awesome,
said.
Man. That is awesome.
So
you know, it's amazing how you watch these guys on television, and they'll hit a hole in one, and they immediately know it, but... You know, for us old guys out there playing, I mean, sometimes it's hard to follow the ball.
Yeah.
You know, it gets to a certain point, you just can't see it anymore. At least that's how it works for me. So, and it's not because I've hit it so far. But that's awesome, man. Congratulations.
You ever had one?
No. I've come close, and if I remember right, I did 3 shows on it. But but that's
well, good. I don't mind stretching this into tomorrow.
That's as close as I ever got. Yeah.
So we have a deal at where I play where you join it's called the Hole in One Club. And it's basically insurance.
Uh-huh.
And every time someone else hits a hole in one at the course, whether you're there or not, you got to pay $5. If you happen to be there when it happens, you get your free drink and you can enjoy it. But when you hit the hole in one, the club gives you a $250 bar credit to help, you know, and I've never understood why you're the one that has to pay when you hit the hole in one, but that's just the tradition of golf. So,
because you've gotten lucky and you need to share your luck.
I guess so. But it was my second one ever. The first one was, I don't know, 25 years ago. Remember, did you ever play at Gala Creek in Pottsville?
No, I've never played there. I remember, honest to God, when it was built.
Yeah.
But I've never played there.
So I was working at KARV in Russellville. And we'd slide down there because that's where we could afford to play. We couldn't play at the country club. So we'd go play Gala Creek. Had the only course I knew of with a par 6 on it. And it was a, by God, par 6. Double dog leg. I mean, you had it was driver, driver, driver. And
I think that course is still open.
It may still be. I hadn't played
it. I think it is.
25 years, but they have a par 3 that's kind of up over the hill, and it's a blind tee. You can't see the green, the flag, nothing when you tee off from the bottom of the hill over the hill. And I was out there one day, you know, Chris Womack, Steve's brother, and we were playing and I hit one at, you know, right at it, got up there, couldn't find it, and guess where it was? It was in the hole. But didn't get to see it go in. So at least I got to see the one yesterday. I not only saw it, but I heard it go in the hole.
I had a shot about 5 years ago. It was not a hole in one. It was about 190 yards out on the fairway, and it went in. And the two guys I was playing with were walking. And, of course, I was in a cart, and I beat him up there, and I started yelling. And I'll bet I spent 10 minutes convincing him I wasn't lying. And that was the hardest part, was they're like, man, we play with you every day. You did not knock that in. Yeah. And so, my guys, you know, every blind squirrel.
Yeah.
But congratulations, man.
Well,
that's great.
You. It was fun, and only thing that you regret is that you weren't in the big money game or something. It was just a friendly on a Wednesday.
Well,
but, hey, you'll take them however you get them, right?
The only regret I would have if I ever got one would be that everyone I'd ever played with was not there to see it.
Yes.
You know, that there wasn't a gallery there to go crazy of all the friends who over the years have said, man, you really need to give this
yeah.
up.
You suck. Yeah. I've had a good summer of golf so far. So
that's great, man.
Hopefully
that's awesome.
Not the only highlight at this point.
Well, you know, it probably will be, but
well,
it's a
probably.
Good highlight.
I'm on pace for one every 25 years. I might have one more left in me at some
it's
point.
Like Cahotek, but,
man. I've been around it lately. I had one Sunday that similar distance, maybe a little longer, that 4 inches from the hole. But, but normally I'm either in the ditch or in the woods or in the sand trap. But yesterday I guess that blind hog found it yesterday. Every as you said, blind squirrel, blind hog. We need Ty here to get all the phrases right.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to play, and we'll get to sports here in just a second. This is
the
sports,
blind
by God.
Acorn found a squirrel. I think that's how Ty would say it.
And after hitting one, you'd be two shirts to the wind. But anyway, he's on this trip to Florida. In fact, I think his flight left at 6 o'clock. This morning from Dallas.
Oh, we can talk about him now. He's in the air. He can't hear us.
90 holes of golf in 3 days. Now,
golf will never be the same.
Well, I'm just telling you, there was a day and a time. And if I was his age, 90 holes in 3 days sounds great. I think it's 18 today and 36 the next 2 days. But, man, I'm going to tell you, I'm at an age, 90 holes in a week is about stretching it. You know, so I don't know. 90 holes in would that excite you at all to be on a trip playing 90 holes?
Well, the first 36 would probably be fun.
Yeah.
By the end of it, I might take the last day off.
Yeah. So emergency nines are really an emergency anymore. All right. We were coming back from break there. We heard your thoughts about generational talents. It works well into our conversation today. We're already getting a number of texts and thoughts on this morning. I kind of threw the bait out there before you came on. I don't know if you heard it, but and it fits perfectly with what you were saying about the generational talents of staying home, but are there enough of them? I think about generational talents now, and some of the first players that come to mind are the guys that Big C and I were talking about, and just a quick rundown of guys that are on current NBA rosters, some of the best generational talents of the last 5 or 10 years. Now, you know, I'm not saying they're Sidney Moncrief or the Corliss Williamson, but you know, you look at the guys that are playing and who are filling pro rosters from kids that grew up playing in our state and in our firm recruiting grounds. You know, right now, this state has become a basketball state from a prep level. I don't think there's any arguing that. And now when go ahead.
Well, yes, you know, it's the great summer discussion, and it's a good discussion in our state. I've always believed that at a prep level, we've been much more of a basketball state than a football state. And I'm not talking about importance so much as I'm talking about participation. There's still a lot of schools in our state. Not as many now, but when I was in high school, there were lots of schools in our state that did not field football teams. And they started playing basketball games literally in like August. And there were schools that were just basketball schools. I mean, that's what they played. A lot of the smaller schools, the Class B schools, Class A schools, they didn't field football teams back then. They played basketball because their school districts were poor, and football was expensive, and they didn't have the millage and the local tax and the things like that to pay for all that. So they just played basketball. So
a lot of them didn't have enough to field a football team and,
well, you're
and
right.
survive
and,
the injuries.
That's exactly
one
right.
of the reasons we have eight-man football now in our
that's
state.
That's exactly right. And that's probably the biggest part of it is just the general geography of it. But I always have thought that, you know, at a prep level, we were much more of a basketball state because we had so many more kids playing basketball than playing football.
So you look at everything that's unfolded since the end of the last season, and really I think you got to go back and look at everything Eric Musselman accomplished in reestablishing and elevating. Reestablishing is probably not the right word, but elevating the program to a closer to elite level. Maybe there's a better way to phrase that, but he took us to a level we hadn't been at in 25 years, getting you back to the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. The next steps are obvious. But you look at the investment, you look at, you know, what John Calipari has done in a short amount of time to construct this roster, you look at the expectation and the hope and all of it in one big ball of wax here, and you know, with where you're at with football right now, maybe that's just the over. I just wonder, have we become a basketball school at this point? Because there's, you know, there's been times where I think the answer was yes, and then I think there's been times where football was the answer. I think in our heart, Chuck, we'd all love to be a football school. We'd all love to have the talent in this state and in our central recruiting grounds to be a 9 or 10 or 11 game winner perennially. But if
you just narrow it down to football and basketball, I mean, there's been more success in basketball in terms of a national level. I hesitate to say it's a basketball school because I think it's cyclical. I've been here when basketball was a really big deal, and I've been here when football was even bigger. And the victories in football are celebrated. And certainly they are in basketball too, but I think we'd love to be known as a football school in the Southeastern Conference mm-hmm. because the Southeastern Conference is known as a football conference. And so, I can remember, you know, in the 90s when Nolan had it rolling, hey, we were a basketball school, but Houston Nutt came in. And I can tell you from a talk show host perspective, because I was hosting a show every day then, football was not a year-round sport until the late 90s in terms of conversation, in terms of being able to generate conversation. You could not do that the way you can now regarding football. It was all basketball. By the third quarters of football games, we'd be, you know, everybody in the stands would be mimicking a basketball shot. Because, you know, we were reminding people what was coming. But I've also been through periods where football was king. You know, there was a period when things weren't very good in basketball. In fact, things in the post-Nolan era were about as they could be for a little while. And all of a sudden, Darren McFadden and Felix Jones and Peyton Hillis, Matt Jones before that, you know, football was the king of the hill. Some of it has to do with the crop of talent that is coming through the state. For example, when Petrino was here, those five or six guys coming out at the same time in football, very, very uncommon. We've just not seen that over the years. I mean, you look at that group of players that spearheaded those two great years that we had under Petrino, that was an uncommon run. And at that point, you could look at it and say, wow, you know, we're becoming a football state
mm-hmm.
at all levels. And people were excited about that. I don't think we're strictly a basketball school, no. I can tell you the baseball people think we're a baseball school.
Yeah.
Track and field people think we're a track and field school.
Yeah.
The other sports that have success within their world, within their sports, you know, they're among the best in the country. So I think more than anything, we're a Razorback school. And like all schools, we follow who's winning. If we knew how to keep score and track as a fan base, we'd take more pride in that. But we go to the meets and we don't really understand what's going on all the time. Football and basketball and baseball are easier. We understand all that. But right now in football, it's really tough. Mm-hmm. It is tough. And when you look at our history in the Southeastern Conference since we joined the league, go back and look at the records sometime. When people talk about what it's really been like, when people what's going on right now is not that uncommon if you really look at the last 32 years.
Yeah, we're getting some reaction about some of the things.
Yeah, what do the people say?
Well, Alan says we're asking the wrong question. Just like, are we a baseball or a track school? Alan's on point with what you thought there and the reaction you had a minute ago. Robert Nashville says we want it to be a football school, but really we're a basketball school with consistent appearances in postseason play. You could argue that we are becoming a baseball school. I just think in reality, yes, you've got more consistent success in those other two sports, but you're not a track school. There really are no such things as track schools or baseball schools. You're either not when you're in the SEC. Maybe when you're in another conference or you got sports playing at different levels, but you're one or the other. I mean, that's no one's striving to be a baseball or a track school, even though we're pretty good at that.
Well, you want to be good at them. You want to be good at them. I'll be honest, in the SEC, until you're considered a football power, you're not really considered a power. And that's not fair, but that's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah. Jamie May says, he's talking about the most important thing, the hole-in-one. At the age of 16, he hit a hole-in-one at Rosswood.
Tommy told you about his golf shot.
We'll get around to that. Rosswood Country Club in Pine Bluff, he hit a hole-in-one at age 16. We're talking about basketball talent in our state. B in Clarksville chimes in and says, in 1991, Nemo Vista had 7 basketball players and 3 players had to go do some farm chores so their star player could play that night. So they had to help out their team. We're talking about teams that start at September, it seems like, playing their basketball school. How can you expect to have a good football team if the best players in the state are going elsewhere? That's from Brad in Fayetteville. I think that's been a bigger issue with the best players going elsewhere in basketball, and you've still overcome that at times. You've gotten them recently when Muss was here, but, Chuck, there was a time where, Malik Monk and Archie Griffin from Little Rock, the best players went to Kentucky, and we weren't getting the what I would call generational talents out of our state for a time.
Again, a lot of that's cyclical. It is cyclical, and I've seen it go both ways in both sports over the course of the last 30 years. There have been times when we've gotten a lot of in-state players. There have been times when we haven't. There have been times in basketball when we couldn't sign a player out of Little Rock Parkview to save our lives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every single player that played for Coach Rip went somewhere else. And people grabbed
them
about
to
it
Ole
all
Miss.
The time.
A lot of them to Ole Miss.
Rob Evans would come up here, and he'd get players and beat us with the guys that, nobody else in America wanted. And Rob Evans would somehow fashion them into a good team because he was a good coach. And, those were years when people said a lot of the same things about basketball. It comes and goes. I will say this. I think it's more difficult right now. And to me, since the advent of the college football playoff, since those are the teams that are almost exclusively talked about, once we get to November on the national programs that these kids watch every day and want to be on, it's a different climate now. You factor NIL into it. It's a whole different deal now. You've also got to remember, and I said this the other day, we've won a lot of championships. We've won a lot of games and a lot of sports with kids from other states. And, Arkansas just got a verbal commitment from a great lineman out of Georgia. Well, he left his home state, and teams get players from other places all the time, and teams lose players. This idea that anyone is, like, locked up their state, I mean, that's not true. That's not true at all.
Well,
I mean,
It's okay when they leave to come here, but it's not okay when they leave here to go anywhere.
Well, right. Yeah, that's kind of how everybody views it. It's kind of how everybody views it.
JT in Hot Springs, I think, gets to the heart of the matter here on the text line. He said, I'm more passionate about football. Football can elevate or destroy my weekends. I love basketball. I know basketball were better than football, but he's more passionate about football. He's exactly right. The outcome of the football game on Saturday will determine your mood the rest of that day, all of Sunday, and probably well into Monday or Tuesday. I mean, we want to be a football school because I think JT is right at the heart of the matter. It determines, you know, how our weekend is going to go, whether or not you win or lose that football game.
Well, I think part of the reason that we are so passionate about football is because we've not been consistent. We've not been a consistent winner. We've not been to the mountaintop. We've not been mentioned among the elite on a consistent basis. We have in basketball. Now, we had a few down years there, but for the most part, we've had three Hall of Fame coaches, guys. In my lifetime, we've had three Hall of Fame coaches in basketball. And I'm not saying it's taken for granted in basketball. But having a good basketball team has been part of our heritage, part of who we are as Razorback fans. We've watched it from the 70s, the 80s, on up.
Well,
baseball's been the same way. Football's the elusive prize, and we've not caught it yet.
Yeah, and I had this written down as something to get into, but we'll maybe start the conversation now and carry it over into the next hour. It's generational from the standpoint, when I was a kid, my dad remembered and talked about all the success from the 60s and into the 70s. I wasn't old enough to remember that. And then you get into the 80s and you have a good run and back-to-back Southwest Conference titles. And in my generation, I remember that as a kid. But still, my dad's generation, you know, is still, so if you're of a certain age, 65, 70, 75, you've got very real memories of the success of the 60s. And that's what I think a lot of our fan base, and particularly for the last 25 or 30 years, has been trying to recreate. That's the Camelot in their mind, is what happened under Frank Broyles.
Well,
so it depends on what age you are in your perspective.
That's 50 or 60 years ago. Yeah. I mean,
but I think your viewpoint is altered based on the age, because if you're old enough to remember those times, there's still fans that hold that as the gold standard.
Well, I'd go back and challenge people to really look at the records from some of those glory years. If you were to really take a look at some of the records back then, I mean, there were good years. There were really, really good years. There were also some years where they weren't all that good.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet online. The game starts here.
Morning Rush Daily Question. By the way, did I mention that hole-in-one yesterday? So, what is the luckiest thing that you've ever accomplished or had happen to you? Yesterday was a great moment of luck. Took very little skill.
Are we still on this?
No, that's the Morning Rush Daily Question. Oh. What's the luckiest thing you've ever had happen to you? For me, yesterday is right up there. I mean, I would love to tell you it was all skill. Knocking it dead in the hole. It was a slam dunk too, Chuck. Right through the front lip of the cup. Right in the hole. Jarred it. I jarred it yesterday.
Yeah.
Complete luck. What's the luckiest thing that that you can recall that you went through?
Other than when that lady called in
about the petunias or whatever when you first started on the Razorback Network. What was the luckiest thing that ever?
Yeah, I was pretty lucky that day.
Yeah.
I was very, very, very lucky that day. You want me to tell that story?
Well, I've heard it a million times, but
this was like my first year with the Razorback Network. My job was to answer the phones. I drove the Little Rock every Saturday.
You were the call screener.
1994. I was the call screener. That's how it all started. And a lady called in. Joe Ferguson and Ray Tucker were doing the pregame show. Now, I was lax in my job. And I said, "What's your name? Where are you calling from?" She said, "Mary from Little Rock." And I was supposed to warm Mary up, but I was lazy, and I didn't. And I said, "Okay, Mary, hang on. We'll get right to you." Well, Mary comes on the air. Ray Tucker says, "Mary, you're on Hog Calls." Well, here's what I didn't know. At that particular time, normally on the radio station in Little Rock she was listening to, there was a garden show on. It was called The Garden Show. Pretty original name.
What was it about?
Gardens. And so Mary calls in, and Mary says she wants to be on the show. Ray Tucker says, "You're on Hog Calls." Mary says, "I don't know what the problem is, but I'm having a little trouble getting my begonias to grow." Well, it's my job to make sure things like that didn't happen. I thought I was going to get fired. I really did. Joe Ferguson saved the day. Joe said, "Well, Mary, I think I'd put a little water on those things and make sure they get some sunlight, and I think everything will be all right." She said, "Okay," and hung up. Now, Mary was old then, and I promise you, Mary died without ever knowing she was on the Razorback pregame show.
And you thought your career had died that day.
I thought I was going to get fired. I really did. I thought I was going
to. So is that the luckiest thing that's ever happened to you?
Well, maybe. Maybe it's not luck. I don't know. But I felt lucky when it was over. That's a long story. I'm sorry.
That's a good. Big C, anything come to mind? Lucky accomplishment?
My wife.
Ah, good answer.
Hey, that is a good answer right there. I've seen Christian. I've seen his wife.
Yes, exactly.
He's right, man.
Yeah, that's lottery stuff
that's
there.
That's big time, man.
You're talking about a guy
lotto. That is lotto.
That is lotto stuff. You're talking about someone outkicking their coverage. I mean, he booted it way up in section 106.
Christian
there,
must be a good guy. Big C loves dogs. He must be a good
personality,
guy. Got a beautiful
man.
Wife. I mean, what's the deal?
It must be that Clarksville connection.
You
know, he
you
went,
got a big
went
truck.
To school
you got
in Clarksville.
That's where
truck,
we met.
Big C.
We met in
you
Clarksville.
You got a big truck?
I got a truck. It's not. It's a single cab, though. It's not a big old truck.
All right.
Yeah. All right, that's your Morning Rush Daily Question. It is brought to you by our friends at Farm Credit of Western Arkansas. They help you with financing options if you want to remodel and bring your home up to date, or maybe you're looking to build the dream home you and your lovely wife have always thought about and dreamed about. Well, you're lucky enough to have Farm Credit nearby. Go to myaglender.com. That's myaglender.com, or stop in any of their 25 locations around the state and get started on building more family memories. We've been talking about football school versus basketball school, and are we watching at least a cyclical shift right before our very eyes? Because I think because of maybe some of the lack of hope for this season, the anticipation of this football season, and what the anticipation for basketball season is, I just wonder, are we becoming a basketball school, or is it just cyclical? We were talking to Brent and Searcy before we hit the break, and I've left Brent on hold here because I know he had some other thoughts. We just didn't get to him. Brent, thanks for holding through the break.
Well, you asked about the question about the luckiest thing that's ever happened to you.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you what the luckiest thing that ever happened to me was having the, I don't know if it's luck, but having the parents that I had and the sister that I have. Those are the luckiest things that's come my way.
Well,
I'll agree with you on that part, Brent.
And about are we becoming a basketball school, football, what are we? I don't care what we're known as. I want to be known as a winning school. Win a championship in baseball, let's win a championship in basketball, and let's win a championship in football someday before I die. I'm 55 years old. I figure I got 30 good years left. So we'll have to. I think we can make a football championship in 30 years.
you're well into the third quarter.
I am well into the third quarter. Yes, I am. And before I get off, can I please give a congratulations, and we'll be there tomorrow night, former Southside and El Dorado head coach and Silo Springs athletic director now, Jeff Williams, is being inducted into the Arkansas Coaches Hall of Fame tomorrow night.
One of the good guys.
And that is my honor and privilege and pleasure to be able to be there to enjoy that night with he and his family.
Yep.
And y'all have a great day.
All right. Thank you, Brent, for the call. One of the really good guys there. So
Jeff's a good dude. I'm glad it's happening.
Yeah, it is. All right. Sandy is in Muldrow. Sandy, you are on the Morning Rush.
Okay. So my luckiest day occurred, I think it was 2 years ago when we were playing Mississippi State at home. My work had a raffle to win 4 tickets in the Touchdown Club area for that game. And I bought 2 tickets for $25 each, and I won.
Good for you.
I was like a kid at Disneyland.
Which game was it?
I'm sorry?
Which game was it you said? Who was
Mississippi
Arkansas
State. Point?
Mississippi State, all right.
Yeah, the game didn't turn out so well for us, but I had a blast.
You know, she said something there that I think is important to remember. I can remember when I was a kid and would go to games. And she said something right there at the end. The game didn't turn out so well, but we still had a great time. I know for some people, if the game doesn't go so well, it ruins your day. I know that. And I'm not discounting that thought. But for most people, you have to remember, for most people, the experience of going to a Razorback game is something they remember the rest of their lives. We get desensitized to the fact that most people don't go to games. And when they get to go, it's a great day, win or lose. And I'm glad she had a great day,
yeah.
And I'm glad she considers that a lucky moment. And I think it's a reminder that simply being there for a lot of people is a big, big win.
Is Sandy, do we still have Sandy on the phone? Sandy, are you still there?
Yes.
You live in Muldrow, Oklahoma.
Yes, I am.
So you're a Razorback fan living in living in Sequoia County. How is life for you now that Oklahoma has joined the SEC? I would love your perspective because you're like me, you're right on the border. You're a Razorback fan. I would say on the wrong side of the border, but hey, we got to live where we live. What's life like as a Razorback fan in Muldrow, Oklahoma today?
Well, it's interesting because my son-in-law is an Oklahoma fan. So we're really excited about the opportunity to play each other in a conference game and see who really is the best team. But everybody around knows I'm a Razorback fan, but I work in Arkansas. So that's how it came about to be a Razorback fan.
Well, Sandy, thank you for listening and thanks for calling this morning. She's right in the, I would say, right on the battle line, you know, right there on the front lines of what I've grew up experiencing. So Sandy's a good example of I think some of the excitement that's coming our way with OU now in the league.
OU's going to be kind of like Ole Miss. It's sort of this way on the eastern side of the state. Mm-hmm. You've got family members that went to both schools, or you've got family members that are fans of both schools. There are not a lot of people in Arkansas. There are some in the Texarkana area who have families where you have Texas and Arkansas fans. It's not uncommon at all. Fort Smith, Siloam Springs, the Western Wall, as I call it.
Mena.
Not uncommon at all to have split allegiances within your family between Arkansas and Oklahoma. I don't think there's as much between Arkansas and Mizzou on the northern border, although I think there's some. Not as much with LSU, and a lot with Ole Miss because of Oxford's proximity. But, on the Western Wall, man, you're going to have a lot of split families.
Yeah, and, you know, I've got several buddies that, you know, married a girl from Oklahoma, and they live on that side, and, you know, they're holding the Razorback flag in their family. So you're right, there's a lot of split households when you get to Sequoia and LaFleur County and places like Poto and Salisaw and, you know, areas within 30 minutes of, say, Fort Smith. And I'm sure it's the same way in Stillwell and, you know, places along that Oklahoma line that, you know, over by
there
Lincoln.
There are people
in that area.
Themselves are fans of both teams. I know people in Northwest Arkansas that root for both of those teams. I couldn't do it, but they
do
it.
How do you do that?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But, you know, we'll continue. We got some calls coming here in just a second. 877-377-6963. Got a couple open lines right now if you want to join in the conversation. Basketball or football school? Chuck, we've been discussing this a little while this morning. I think some of this conversation that I hear and people that have responded this morning that say we're becoming a basketball school, I think just some of the general low expectations for this year's football team. I have not talked to a lot of fans. There's not an abundance of fans that think you're going to be 7 or 8 wins or maybe even 6 wins this year. But everybody's expecting a great basketball season. I think that's driving some of the mindset right now.
Well, I do think timing's always got a lot to do with how you feel on this. I mean, this is one of those, you know, they were talking about this 25, 30 years ago, and they'll be talking about it 25, 30 years from now. You know, which are we? A lot of it right now is because they've just hired John Calipari. And, you know, this is the third Hall of Fame head coach now in my lifetime. And so there's certainly a pedigree there. Yeah.
And the first Hall of Fame coach that didn't – I don't know if Eddie – and Nolan certainly, his Hall of Fame status was earned at Arkansas. Eddie Sutton's began here with the Final Four. It may have been completed, you know, with the other Final Fours and other schools, but it started at Arkansas. John Calipari's the first Hall of Fame coach you've hired that didn't – you know, that had that status when he arrived here. That's the unique thing about him, and that's not just true in basketball. That's true when you look across the board in any of the programs. To my knowledge, he's the first Hall of Fame coach you've hired at any position on the Hill.
Well, you don't hire a Hall of Fame. I mean, nobody goes out and, generally speaking, hires a Hall of Fame coach. They're just not there. So, it's first time around. Now, look, Danny Ford had won a national championship, and I think Danny Ford may be in the College Football Hall of Fame. I'm not sure.
He is.
But, you know, Danny Ford had some pretty good credentials when he became the head coach here. At the time, he was probably the most credentialed coach we'd ever hired,
mm-hmm.
At least in terms of football and basketball, which is what we're talking about. So, certainly, Calipari's got more cachet than anyone we've hired, mm-hmm. but you could say that about 99% of the schools out there.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones. John is in Fayetteville. John, you're on the Morning Rush.
Good morning.
Hey, John.
Good morning. Yeah, I just wanted to respond to the question that was posed earlier, you know, about us being more of a basketball school or –
mm-hmm.
You know, a football school, and you know, I'd like to say this. I mean, being in the SEC, I don't think we can afford to be one or the other. I think you have to be strong in both. And you know, as was stated earlier, we've had a strong basketball program, you know, throughout time, but our football program is something that, you know, in the conference we're in, we have to be competitive with. And I think we're on the right track. And you know, talking about the program yesterday on the show, I mean, it's in a lot better place than where it was found, but I think we have a lot of work to do, and I don't think you can pick between one or the other.
John, thanks for the call. You know, we all want to be a football school. I mean, in our heart of hearts and deep down in your gut, you'd love to be able to be a program that averaged 9 or 10 wins every year and that had made multiple trips to Atlanta over the last 30 years, more than the three you have, that you had a couple of three SEC championships in football, but you don't. And the reality is, pardon me, you've been playing catch up, Chuck, since you joined the league.
Well, yes. I mean, I remember it well. I mean, Arkansas, you know, we forget. I mean, Jack Crow was our head coach when, you know, our first season in the SEC, and he didn't even make it to the conference opener. And Arkansas played their first conference game with an interim head coach. And so it's been an uphill battle from the beginning. And it's very, very difficult in football. I'll go back to something Brent said a little bit earlier, you know, about having a winning program. You know, you want to win at everything. With the television coverage now, much more basketball than it was when we were kids, 1,000 times more baseball than there was when, you know, even we were 40 years old in my case. So we're exposed to that a lot more. We take pride in them winning a lot more. You know, football's the, I mean, that's the sport in the SEC that a lot of people focus on. And it's the sport in our league. I think the caller a moment ago, John, I believe it was, talked about the importance of being competitive in football. You know, it would be nice to be a football power, but I don't think the days of just being a football school, I don't know that those days aren't over. Alabama's a lot better at other sports now than they used to be. Georgia's been okay, but, you know, Georgia right now is such a cut above on the men's side in football that they can afford to not be really good at the other men's sports. But they've been pretty good on the women's side in multiple sports. Not pretty good, real good. I don't know that you can get away with just being football only now. But there's no question that everybody wants to be a football power.
Yeah. Ryan is in Hot Springs. Ryan, you're on the Morning Rush.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I know I'm not really going to kind of give you a straight answer on this, but also I think it's because of this fan base, and this is a good thing. I think it's whatever sport we're having the most success at, because how many schools in the country, I mean, I figure LSU's probably on this list, but how many schools in the country do you know that go out and have the support that they've got for all three major sports the way Arkansas does?
Oh, you're right about that. You're right about that. But I've always marveled at that.
And I was going to also want to add this to y'all. Y'all can add me to the list of the fan base and that small minority that thinks we can win 7 or 8 games this year. I saw enough potential last year that I think that if everything stays healthy, everybody stays healthy, I do feel like Petrino can maximize our problems on or not maximize the problems, but fix our problems that we had last year and maximize the good things we did last year on offense and the talent that we've got and do some really big things this year. I'll hang up, listen, hope you all have a great day, and go Hogs.
All right, thank you, Ryan.
I'm going to sound like a broken record again and again and again, but this is about those close games. I was reading some of Brent Venables' comments about, you know, joining the Southeastern Conference, and he talks about, you know, how he's been studying the SEC since the moment it was announced that OU and Texas were coming. You know, we've been waiting for what seemed like a while, but they've been getting ready during that time. And he talked about how all the games, how many games are decided in the fourth quarter, how many close games there are, how many one or two possession games there are, how many games are decided by literally less than a handful of plays. Arkansas made those plays the year they went to Tampa. Last couple of years, hadn't gone our way. You make those plays, yeah, you can win that number of games. Sure you can. If you don't make those plays, the number of wins is going to go down. For every play you don't make in that situation, probably the number of wins will go down by one.
And it didn't hurt to have a guy named Treylon Burks. And that, you know, that's the difference in the last couple of years and since his time at Arkansas and the seasons that follow that. You haven't had a guy that was going to be a first or second round draft choice. You haven't had a guy that was going to be a starter from nearly day one when they got to the other side in the NFL. He was the difference maker. He was the straw that stirred the drink on that team.
To me, the one thing that Arkansas has very seldom had, maybe ever, since they joined the SEC, is a game wrecker on defense. I mean, a guy, Jadeveon Clowney, a guy who can ruin your day. Just ruin every plan the other offensive coordinators spent the entire week formulating. You look at, and we went through some of these generational players earlier this week. Offensive guys, you know, offensive guys. Atwater became a great Hall of Fame defensive player here, but he wasn't from here. So, to me, when I look at Arkansas's time in the SEC, I wished they'd had a game wrecker or two, because those, every great team's got them.
Yeah. Yeah. No question, everybody's wanting to move on up. And Chuck, when it comes time to move on up in your own world, there's the pros at Weikert that you need to call to help you get that right home at the right price and the right financing.
And they're right around the corner, and they're all over our area. Northwest Arkansas, Washington and Benton counties, Fort Smith, Branson. They've been my lifetime partners. And, you know, the thing that I always appreciated about them was that, you know, they meet you right where you are. For some people, it's your first time out. For others, you've done this before, and you know exactly what you want and exactly what you need. For others, you need somebody to help you. You need somebody to tell you sometimes. That's been my experience throughout the course of the years with Weikert Realtors, the Griffin Company, because it was the first time out for me at one point. And it's the most money you're ever going to spend in your life. You want someone who understands your situation. You want someone who makes your goals their goals. And that's what they do at Weikert Realtors, the Griffin Company. You're going to get the best train in the business. That's number one. They're going to do this 24/7. It's not a part-time gig. All the nuances of the market that are hard for us to understand, they're on top of. And that's going to help you make an informed decision, and the best decision, and ultimately help you get from contract to close. Now, they've got a wide selection of homes, and you can check all of them out at WeikertGriffin.com.
All right, we got your hog update coming up in a few minutes. Next week is SEC Media Days. Going to be in Dallas. I just wonder about the Texas feel. And
I'd forgotten about
that. Yeah, and, you know, for years, we got used to that kind of that Alabama vibe and all their local media. And, you know, when Saban came in, it became a complete circus. I'm interested to get there Sunday and start the show on Monday and just kind of feel how, you know, the difference in doing the show from Dallas, Texas versus, you know, Nashville last year and Hoover for many years.
Media people, for whatever reason, love to talk about what they eat. And so I'm going to be interested to hear the comparisons between Texas barbecue and, like, for example, Dreamland barbecue or Memphis barbecue. There are differences. And I'm sure some of these media guys will chronicle it very well for us.
If you go to Texas and you don't eat the brisket, you're doing it wrong. Get a chance to have a beef rib, do it. Texas is known for its cattle. It's known for its beef. And if you're going to go have barbecue, you can have pulled pork anywhere. Great brisket. Great beef ribs, hard to find. Texas is the place to get them. Dallas has a good collection. There is no doubt about that.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Tom Murphy's with us now. He covers the Razorbacks for Whole Hog Sports and the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Tom, I guess a week from today, we'll be talking to Sam Pittman and Landon Jackson and Taylen Green and Andrew Armstrong. Arkansas goes the last day. It'll be a week from today at SEC Media Days. And we were wondering aloud earlier, the feel for the event. First big media event in Texas, and we've been so used to the Nashville and really for the majority of our time covering it, that the Alabama feel. What are you expecting when you arrive Sunday as far as kind of the ambiance around this event being now in Texas for the first time?
Yeah, that's a good question, and good morning to you guys. With the two Texas schools, I mean, are we going to detect any bristling animosity between the two fan bases and what have you? And of course, we're used to seeing the Alabama coach get basically, you know, surrounded by fans in the lobby and stuff. And so it'll be a different vibe to this one. I think the Omni is a relatively posh hotel, and it'll be, you know, the SEC's had discussions, I'm sure, with the hotel itself and how to arrange, you know, the ropes and all that kind of stuff, the stanchions to keep the coaches, you know, in their lanes and keep the fans from mobbing. But I don't know. It's going to be a really interesting new dynamic. We saw some of that with Nashville. Of course, there was construction in Nashville. It was a really weird deal last year, how to get to it and all that. But I'm sure Texas is going to roll out the red carpet. I've looked at the itinerary. There's media stuff to do each night. I know that we're going over to Globe Life Field for an event during the course of it, and so should be a good time.
Yeah. Tom, I don't know if it's a big week for Sam Pittman, but people are going to measure every word and every syllable. You know, when you engage a fan or you're talking to someone else in the media, right now there's not a lot of hope, it seems like, for Sam Pittman. And I don't know that he can change the narrative, but the narrative right now, when you look at guys that are writing columns on the hottest seats in the SEC, and certainly losing some in-state recruits last week, you know, fanned the flames a bit. I don't know if he can, you know, completely steady the ship in some people's minds, but I guess next week's the first step in that direction.
Right, it's the oral part of all this, and you're right. I mean, I don't know if there's a hotter seat than Billy Napier's at Florida. I think he barely made it, it feels like. But if you're switching coaches every 3 or 4 years, it's not a good look either, and how does someone build continuity? And I know that's what Hunter Yurecek was thinking, because Sam Pittman's seat was clearly hot. I would say that Napier, Sam Pittman, and Clark Lee would have the hottest seats. It's important for Sam Pittman to feel like the fan base can believe in him and that he leaves Arkansas football in a good place. I mean, you know, some people, when you start turning on a guy, you're like, oh, he makes 6 point whatever million, and, you know, he needs to be doing better than this. But I think it's very important for Sam Pittman to feel like he's made Arkansas fans proud. That's why 2021 was such a great year when they won all their trophy games and a bowl game. Will that be the apex of the Sam Pittman era? You know, we'll find out. But I think because it's so important to him, that's why you saw him roll up his sleeves and get in there and work with Eric Mateos with the line. That's why you have to bite your pride a little bit to hire Bobby Petrino. Jimbo Fisher didn't handle it very well. Sam Pittman, I think, is going to handle it great because he just wants to win. And so you're not going to convince everybody just by talking up on a big podium in Dallas. But you can convey confidence. You can say we're going to be a better team, et cetera. And then the results on the field will prove that.
Chuck, going to get your thoughts on this, and we'll get Tom's first. But I think one of the more interesting parts of any media days over the last, you know, 18 or 20 I've covered and been a part of is when the commissioner of the league, and every year Mike Slive was appointment viewing and being in that room, and Greg Sankey's no different. We're at such a, I don't know if crossroads is the right way to frame it. We're at a sea change in college athletics. Revenue sharing is coming. And Tom, I always find what the commissioner has to say to be very insightful and usually, you know, gives you an indication of where we're headed with the structures and the models. I think this year's address from the commissioner to open up SEC Media Days may be one of the more telling and important, you know, 30, 45-minute listens we'll have this week or next week, rather, in Dallas.
No question. I'll try to summarize my thoughts here. I've been working on an advance for that day, you know, during the part of this week. And I think you're right. SEC, in a way, kind of created the latest turns in by adding Oklahoma and Texas in 21. And since then, well, NIL came before that. But so all these issues were all cropped up at once. COVID, NIL, more conference realignment. And now the revenue sharing is a blast. I mean, they don't know. College administrators don't know exactly how this is going to work. These lawsuits have made a big deal. And so what Sankey says is so much the, you know, the leadership part of how you address the current issues. And I do believe that revenue sharing is something that a lot of people across the country are going to be tuning in to hear what he says about the latest on that.
Chuck, what do you think? I mean, it's almost like the state of the union for college football when Greg Sankey speaks, right? At least I think there's a lot of trends set there.
People make it out to be that way. I think his job right now, more so even than winning media day, so to speak, is he's got to make sure every school in this league makes as much money as they can, if you just want to get right down to it. Because everybody's going to have to pay the players out of their own money. It's not going to be. Now, there's still going to be some NIL, but right now, paying the players, fans are doing it. You know, fans are the ones that are paying him through the NIL. Schools are going to have to start paying for him. And I think his job right now, and I'm sure he views it this way, whether it's negotiating a television deal, whether it's considering expansion, all the things that we tend to look at sometimes as, you know, singular issues. I think his larger question right now, and I'm not saying this is good, but I think every day he's got to wake up thinking, how can I help my schools make more money? Because they're fixing to have to share every single dime they make.
Yeah, and, you know, I think from a league standpoint, how many things, Tom, can a league do to help schools? Because I think common sense says that, you know, each and every administration is going to have to look to tighten the belt within their own departments. As much as they'll try to resist and not do that, the reality is if you're going to have to share part of $22 million is being reported, some belt tightening is going to happen. How can the conference help, you know, alleviate with maybe some centralized services and different things? I just think about some of these things. I don't know if he'll get into that, but, you know, there is some definite major change coming.
I think if you're looking for something profound, you're probably going to be disappointed, because I think it's just a very fluid situation. I don't think there is an answer, so to speak. Some of it's reactionary. You know, they had a pretty good idea, I think, that this court ruling was coming, and they've been trying to prepare for it. But, you know, ultimately, it's hard to, you can say, well, we've been preparing for it. But, well, when you're on the hook for like 20 mil a year, it's hard to prepare for that. I don't know that there's going to be the dramatic change that a lot of people think, because one person's definition of being broke can be a whole lot different from another person's definition of being broke. Just like one person's definition of being rich can be different from another person's. Yeah. I don't think any of them are broke. Let me just put it that way. Yeah.
Tom, another interesting moment might be day two. Oklahoma will be there, but also Missouri will be there. One of Arkansas's rivals. But, you know, when you look at the schedule, you look at the momentum being built, I come to the conclusion that Missouri, with based on their schedule this year, is probably on the doorstep of another, you know, above expectation season.
Yeah, and, you know, congratulations to Eli Drinkwitz and that program. But when you look at the schedule, and you look at last year's schedule, and take the first half, and I can't remember the exactly, but, you know, when you're playing Vanderbilt and South Carolina, it just doesn't ring the same as if you're playing LSU and Texas A&M. It's just different. And so them being starting out in the East was a big boon to Missouri football, or, you know, it was beneficial. It's a lot easier, in my view. And, you know, Florida was a little down last year, too. So, and Ole Miss kind of had the same thing a couple of years ago. They got off to a great start, and their toughest game through all that, I think, was pulling one out against Kentucky when, you know, Kentucky messed a couple things up in the entire first half of the season. And that was a year then where they lost to Bama, lost to Arkansas, and kind of lost a lot at the end. But it's hard to imagine that you can be in the SEC and have a schedule that looks like that when you're used to, when you cover Arkansas and you look like they're playing the toughest schedule in the country year by year. But, yeah, I think things set up well for Missouri to follow up that great season with another really strong season.
Yeah. Arkansas on the final day on Thursday next week. Sam Pittman with Arkansas, of course, bringing Landon Jackson and Andrew Armstrong and Talon Green. Texas A&M, Auburn, and Kentucky also there that day. So everything may overshadow by the final day. A lot of people looking to get out of town. But Hugh Freeze, Mike Elko, Mark Stoops there the same day. I think Arkansas will get its share of the spotlight at least.
It will get some. I mean, A&M is kind of there at the same time, and them being in the same state and a lot of Texas media at this event, they'll take a back seat at least from the major focus on that day to A&M, because they're basically kind of traveling around the rooms with them. But, yeah, and then, you know, what will the narrative be? We touched on it at the top. Just, you know, coming off a rough season, I don't think they're going to be projected any higher than 14th, maybe 13th in the league. I think for Sam Pittman, just projecting, you know, we're going to be stronger, projecting a little more confidence, and then kind of going under the radar would be a pretty good showing
in Dallas this week, next week.
All right, Tom, we'll get to do it in person next week. We'll see you on Radio Row next Tuesday in Dallas.
Oh, sounds good. See y'all then.
All right, Tom Murphy, Arkansas Democrat Gazette, Whole Hog Sports. He joins us Tuesdays and Thursdays, and once a year, SEC Media Days, we get to talk to Tom live in person. I'm looking forward to it next week. I'm interested in kind of the feel of Texas media and the hype that their two in-state schools get versus what we've always seen in the state of Alabama primarily, and what Alabama and Auburn have gotten. I think it's going to be very interesting, and Texas always tries to do things big. Chuck, I think next week it'll be a great gathering of media talking to media.
Well, there'll be a lot of talking. There's no doubt about that. Media Day's not a competition, though, and nothing is decided on Media Day. They do it so early in the summer now, and by that I mean so far away from the start of the regular season, 6 weeks minimum. The things that they're going to say, and I'm not trying to throw water on this, but the things they're going to say next week, they're not even going to be applicable after the first practice. This has turned into a summer media event, and when people say, well, what are we going to get out of a guy? Well, you're going to get the same thing you always get out of a coach in the middle of July. Pretty much nothing. And so I know I sound old and cynical when I say all that. But I do believe that because it's in Dallas, it will be a huge event. And the media will rave about it because, as Tom said a minute ago, they've got activities planned for everybody. Hey, this week on the Market Moment podcast, Matt, Lee, and Eli talk about, your portfolio, investing. It's not easy all the time. Sometimes it's not performing quite as well as you'd like, despite the fact that right now there are huge returns from the S&P 500. Sometimes it's a head-scratcher. They're going to talk about that this week and help you maybe perhaps make a little bit more sense out of what you're reading and what you're hearing. They do this every week, and you can check out the latest episode of The Market Moment by heading to market-moment.com. That's market-moment.com. And I'll remind you that Mach 1 Financial Group, LLC, is an SEC-registered investment advisor. They're located in Rogers, and for full disclosures, you can visit mach1financial.com/disclosures.
Something I was noticing, fans don't care what the media is doing tonight. They're releasing one thing that the fans will care about is they're going to have a preview next week of it's called Saturday Night Lights, and one of the ESPN and the SEC Network's newest movies or documentaries that they'll be releasing. So I'll be interested to maybe go see that, get an advanced view of that, and there'll be some conversation next week on that, and that'll be something that all of us listening can enjoy together. At some point, Saturday Night Lights is the name.
The SEC knows how to tug at your heartstrings, man. They can do some of those videos and some of those promos. And, I mean, they do a good job putting those together. I'm sure this will be good.
Yeah, so that will be next week and something we'll get to talk about. We'll be there on Radio Row starting Monday morning and be there all week long at SEC Media Days next week. All right, basketball school, football school. We've been talking about that. We'll get to more of your calls coming up. Got a couple of lines open right now. If you want to hop in the conversation, 877-377-6963. Or if you want to text us your thoughts, we'll read some of those coming up as well here in just a few moments. So all that straight ahead. If you haven't downloaded the Hit That Line Now app, be sure and go to the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. Just search for Hit That Line Now. Type in those four words. It'll pop up. Download it, all of our podcasts, including Chuck's podcast and the Give Me the Hogs Chuck podcast right there as well. It's all there for you. The Hit That Line Now app. Download it now.
Streaming live from HitThatLine.com.
Them hogs, man. Hey, them hogs can't do no wrong, fella.
You're listening to The Morning Rush.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
Well, next week is SEC Media Days. That's the big SEC news this week, Big C. Is you look at the schedule, day one, I think SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey is always a must-listen. If you want to watch any of this, we're going to be there live. We'll be carrying a lot of the audio that you'll hear throughout next week. We're going to have live here on our different shows. We'll have updates, of course, during the morning rush, halftime, and Ruskin and Zach. But Greg Sankey and all of the main media room audio and coaches' questions and answers and those type of things can be seen on the SEC Network next week. We'll have much of it for you right here on ESPN Arkansas and hitthatline.com. Greg Sankey kicks things off next Monday. He'll be there at 9 o'clock, then followed by LSU and Brian Kelly, and then Coach Beamer from South Carolina. Shane Beamer will be the three coaches in the morning session. Afternoon will feature Ole Miss and Vanderbilt. Things a little different this year, 4 days, but now two more schools added to the collection. Arkansas's on that fourth day. So LSU, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Vandy, day one. Georgia, Tennessee, OU, and Missouri on day two. Day three's interesting because listen to this lineup. You got Mississippi State, but also Alabama, Florida, and Texas all in one day. So that's going to be a headline day. And then the final day features the Razorbacks, the Aggies, the Auburn Tigers, and Hugh Freeze, who I think this next season's pretty interesting for Hugh Freeze. I don't know that he would get fired after a second year in Auburn. You never know. Those people are crazy. But Big C, he's got to have some steps of improvement this year, some noticeable steps forward, or I think he's going to be the one we're talking about a year from now that's on the hottest seat.
Yeah, that loss last year to New Mexico State really didn't do him any favors. But this year, you know, with Texas and Oklahoma joining the conference, you got to step your game up. Everybody's got to step up. And you're right. I mean, the expectations at Auburn are high.
Yeah.
And he's got to meet them.
And I think it's an interesting year. I don't know if it's put up or shut up, win or get fired. But you never know with Auburn. I mean, you never know. Now, one of the best things for Hugh Freeze is the fact that Nick Saban is gone. And, you know, if you're an Auburn fan, you've been living for this day for 16 years, 17 years. And you've had your moment with Cam Newton. But that's been over a decade ago now at this point. So, you know, it is understandable. And you came up short against Florida State. And we all remember that game. But, you know, it's understandable why Auburn feels like this is their moment maybe to reclaim a little bit of turf in that state with, you know, the window everyone's been looking for, and that's Saban's retirement. So I'm kind of interested in what Hugh Freeze has to say. But Chuck's right. These guys are going to say a lot of things. Everybody's undefeated. Everybody's going to have the best offseason they've had. Their conditioning program, their weight program is in the best shape it's ever been in. But there's going to be a lot of, I think when you listen through past some of the conjecture and start listening to some of the thoughts on the new model of college athletics, what these guys think about the, not just the transfer portal, because we've heard that, but NIL and the revenue sharing, give you a kind of perspective. Hopefully the questions are headed in that direction. Yeah, we can talk about roster and player and tell us about your quarterback or maybe your new offensive lineman or those things. And those aren't inappropriate questions. But Big C, the thing I'm interested in next week is, you know, how these guys are tackling as the head coach, as the CEO of their programs, the new challenges of dealing with the money, dealing with the NIL, helping raise the funds. How does revenue sharing change that job for them? And, you know, is the playing field any more level once we get through this next hoop than it is now? Because do you think the NIL money is going away just because there's revenue sharing? Not until there's collective bargaining and everybody agrees on what would be, financially at least, a level playing field that I still don't believe is going to be ascertained through revenue sharing.
Yeah.
It's going to bring the floor up. That's all it's going to do.
Yeah, the NIL discussion is always an interesting one. We've kind of got back and forth answers from Sam Pittman, and I'm sure he'll get some questions about that. And at this point, you got to embrace it. Yeah. And it's here to stay, it sounds like. And I would like to hear Sankey's thoughts on if there's any potential, you know, changes as far as, you know, structure, guidelines, things like that. But it may be a little too soon to get into that.
Yeah. Our coverage next week of SEC Media Days presented by WT Equipment, the Stadium Shop, and our buddy Robert Mann. Be sure to get out to his live show at George's this week. They'll be playing from 6 to 8 in addition to the Stadium Shop. Robert and his family have they have a love for music, and they have a great group, and they want your support this week at George's Majestic on Dixon in Fayetteville, 6 to 8 this Friday. Be sure and bring your crew out there for that. WT Equipment, the Stadium Shop, and by the great team at Lindbergh Real Estate, the Lindbergh Real Estate Group, all bringing us our coverage next week, live from Dallas. I'm going to drive, particularly after what I've heard this morning from Ty and his travel woes. I believe I'm just going to hop in the car and not really worry about it. Get down there sometime Sunday and get set up for the week. All right, that's your SEC update. It's brought to you by Burton Pools and Spas. You can cool down with hot deals at Burton Pools and Spas. The clearance event's on right now. High-quality above-ground pools installed for just $57 a month. You can enjoy up to $1,000 off on in-stock Doughboy above-ground pools. Doughboy's the absolute best. A friend of mine just put one up in his yard, and they are absolutely loving it. Great alternative that if it's not your forever home or you're at a place in life where an in-ground pool just doesn't make sense, Doughboy above-ground pools are an awesome idea. And let Burton show you about that. If you're considering an in-ground pool, they've got stunning fiberglass pools starting at under $48,000. So get those deals while they last. They don't have a lot, but you can save some money right now. And don't miss out on the biggest discounts of the year. Hot tubs are on sale. Save up to $7,300. So these offers are real, and they're right now at Burton Pools and Spas. Three locations. They're in Springdale, they're in Fort Smith, and now in Greenland as well, and online at burtonpools.com. Just heard from the Wonder Boy, Ty. He has found his way to Houston, so now he's just got to find his way to Tampa. After,
I thought you were going to say he got on the wrong plane.
Well, that...
wrong plane,
that
going to
wouldn't
the wrong
surprise
city.
Me. So if you're just jumping in, yesterday on the show, Ty was telling us how he ought to be a in his next life, this grand idea that no one's ever heard of before, he should help people plan travel for exotic getaways and golf trips. No one's ever thought of that. There's only a million of them out there. And so what's Ty do? The grand planner, the man with the, he's always got his planning book. Remember how he brags about that? Yep. Misses his flight this morning.
I bet next time.
He said, well, I got to the airport an hour before my flight. Well, yeah, dude, you had to check bags because you had golf clubs. So you had to wait in line for that. So you had to check in. They've tried to automate a bunch of that. Then you go to TSA. Let me tell you, I've got TSA PreCheck. It's not the edge it once was because a lot of people have figured it out for, what is it, $80 for 5 years. You know, you got to jump through a few hoops to get it, but... You know, a place like Love Field and certainly DFW, any major airport, 6 a.m. is a busy time. You need an hour and a half to 2 hours. That's exactly right when you're going to a busy. I don't care if you've already, checked in early on the app and all this stuff. Man, security is always backed up for 6 a.m. flights because everybody wants out on the first plane leaving town. And I have always found middle of the day, a lot easier to navigate, but then you run into connection issues. So hopefully he gets there. I know he had 90 holes of golf planned in 3 days. So he's made it to Houston. Hopefully he gets to Tampa soon. And that is the good thing. I drive to Love Field a lot when I'm taking my family because, when you're a dad multiplying by four on airline tickets, Southwest is a attractive option. And I don't like connecting flights because anytime I ever have an airport or travel issue, it's with a connector. You know, we flew out of Tulsa to Orlando and had to connect through Atlanta for my youngest daughter's national cheer competition. Where was the issue? Getting out of Orlando and connecting through Atlanta. Got stuck. Caught the last flight. Finally got back to Tulsa. Bags were missing. Mm. What happened? It was an issue with a connection. So, yeah, nonstop flights are often worth the drive. So I'm not flying to Dallas. I'm just going to drive down and make it easy. And that way, when I'm ready to leave, when I've had enough of the Wonder Boy, I can just head out. So looking forward to that next week. Hey, been a good conversation this morning. Football, basketball school. Are you okay with the idea of becoming a basketball school? I firmly believe for the next 5 years, Arkansas is a basketball school. And can you tell me in the next 5 or 10 years, are you convicted that Arkansas is going to be a true contender for an SEC title in football? I'm not saying every season's going to, you know, be at 500 or below 5, you know, right around that. You're going to struggle to make bowl games. There's going to be years like that. I think this is going to be one of them. But I think in basketball, you know, I believe we're headed back to what we saw between 90 and 96. You know, that level of expectation, that level of hope, that level of reality. Three Final Fours in, what, 90, 94, 95. In Sweet 16 appearances, Elite Eight appearances in between those, you know, I'm hopeful that, you know, we're back in the conversations. Clearly, we're in the spotlight, get invited to all the great parties now, all the big preseason events. So I am hopeful. I'm okay with being a basketball school. If we're labeled a basketball school, I'm okay with that. Kentucky's been okay with that, and they're still pretty good football. Been what, better than us for a while.
What makes it Mark sweeter. Stoops,
and that's the difference. They found their coach, Big C.
What makes it sweeter, you know, we can say we're a basketball school, football school. You got to have that title to back it up. I mean, if we win a national title in basketball with Calipari, I don't think it'll be a question then. We'll embrace it, and we'll not to say we won't care about football, but yeah. We just want to rally behind something, a winner.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.